Continue with the series on the eldership. I'm not going to prolong this much longer. I know I've drug some of these sermons out, probably more than I needed to. But when we think about the eldership, we often look at the qualifications and only apply these qualifications to those men that are either already serving or will be serving as elders. And there's only a few of these qualifications that really apply only to those men. Most of the qualifications can be applied or should be applied to all Christians in their lives. For example, you take the qualification of patience. What Christian here or in the world does not need to practice and have the quality of patience in their life? And yet we look at this and say, well, no, that's an elder's qualification. No, it is an excellent quality that every Christian, every child of God ought to have. Let me tell you, if you're a parent, you know what patience is. If you're a grandparent, you know what patience is. We had our Christmas thing yesterday with most of our kids and grandbabies. And then I had to break away and go get ready for Frank's funeral. And when I come back into the living room, they're all still there, and it was kind of pleasant outside, so we opened up the front door and raised the storm glass on the storm door, and when I sit down in the living room, the screen is gone. I said, who has torn my door up? Patience. So here come my grandchildren, went, Papa, I saw it. I said, uh-uh. There's no tattling in Papa's house. I didn't want to know who did it. But patience is something that all of us can use in our lives. How many of you have lost patience when you're driving down Madison Street and somebody cuts you off? Or how many times does somebody stop and turn left or right and doesn't use that little switch on the side of their steering wheel? I get impatient a lot with people like that. But when we practice this, as I say, it needs to be found in every Christian. And when we practice this and put this in application in our life, patience makes us more like Christ. And isn't that what all Christians should be striving to do, is to be more like Christ? Well, our denominational friends will say, hey, nobody can be like Christ. He was perfect. I agree with that. But shouldn't we imitate His life in our lives? I mean, Christ displayed completely this outstanding qualification. He was the Son of God and He came here. And how many times was He tested, tempted, tried by the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers? And He showed patience. Patience is one of those qualities that need to be a development of a mature Christian. Peter stated it this way when he talked about the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. He begins by telling us to add to our faith, and he says, add to your knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, and add to patience godliness. It needs to be something that every Christian has in their life. You know, if we could develop this quality in our lives, think about it for just a moment. If we could develop this Christian trait, this wonderful Christian trait in our lives, how many problems would we be eliminating in the church, all because of misunderstandings? We run out of patience. And like I say, I have to work on this with myself. I've been places, and you sit through Bible classes and gospel meetings and classes and things like this, and go on vacation, and you hear a comment made sometime by people that have been Christians for generations. And the comment is made, and I'm sitting there going, well, how come you didn't know that? I had a woman years ago when I was beginning to teach the Wednesday night class, and we were getting ready to go into, I forgot what the particular book was of the Old Testament. I think it might have been Ezekiel. And I prefaced it by saying it's a tough book to study. She raised her hand. She said, I've never studied it. I said, never? Never. And why is that? And I kind of, you kind of flinch when somebody says, I've never studied that. And I'm thinking, well, you've been a Christian for at least 10 years. Why have you never studied particular books. Well, sometimes they don't want to study because it is hard. People don't like studying the book of Revelation because it's tough. But if we could develop patience in our lives, how much misunderstanding would it eliminate? And in doing so, how many problems in the Lord's church would it eliminate? I mean, you think about it. Such as quarreling. Why is it your children fuss so many times? Because they want to be the best, or maybe it's a misunderstanding. Why is it brethren argue sometimes? Well, someone assumes that something was said or done, and we take it out of context or whatever, and we get in a tiff. If we would just step back and have a moment of patience and take some understanding of what's being said and done, it would eliminate a lot of these problems that the church faces. Now, when you talk about quarreling, I've not known of any congregation where the sheep don't fight. And you know, if I looked at this picture up here, from my history, I could go back and say, well, now, this is brother so-and-so, that's sister so-and-so, and that's brother so-and-so, and you could do the same thing, couldn't you? Because Christians like to bicker, they like to argue. But if we develop patience in our lives, it would do away with a lot of this that is found in some congregations. I dare say in the majority of congregations. But when we talk about an elder having patience, he's not somebody that must be easily provoked. Like I said, this is a quality that needs to be found in every Christian, but we're talking about the elders. So if you're going to have a man serving the congregation in a leadership role, he cannot be somebody that you know which button to push to get him upset, because he's not got that button. He's not somebody that's going to be revengeful, that he's got to get you back for something you said or did to him in his life. And he's not eager, he's not excited when he finds some dirt on you that he's going to get you back for. And I want to suggest to you that when patience does not reign, either in the eldership or in the church, the seriousness of the Lord's work cannot be accomplished. An impatient man, when you think about it, somebody that's impatient, he wants things done his way. And when things don't go his way, he blows his top. And that's when you see the revenge coming out. That's why God, through His Holy Spirit, told Paul, this man has got to have patience. He's got to have patience because he's dealing with a wide variety of emotions, personalities, everything. I mean, you could take it and apply it to raising children. I've told you, I've got three kids. You couldn't discipline the three the same way and get the same result. The oldest one, if you threatened to whip her, she'd break down and cry. The middle son, you could beat him till next Sunday and he wouldn't change anything. You had to figure out what worked with him. And the youngest one, if you spoke to her, she'd yell back at you. Now, she's grown out of that, so don't bring that up when she ever visits. But when you have men that lack patience, they don't have the true love for the purity of the church in mind. And it's quickly gone away as a defect when it's known that they don't have patience. A hasty action or reaction sometimes can often cause a lot of suffering, especially if the man is serving in a leadership position, and he's supposed to have patience. Another quality that Paul lists is he's not to be covetous. This quality is condemned in both the Old and New Testaments. It's one of the glaring sins, I believe, in any church today, covetousness. Now, what is covetousness? Well, we like, Danny and I like to play golf. Charles likes to play, Jason likes to play, and I don't know if Joan likes to play. I'll tell you, I'm covetous of Joan, okay? She talks to me about how my golf game has been. And anybody that knows anything about golf knows that a birdie is a hole in one, right? That's what you've got. A hole-in-one is something spectacular. She's got three, and she said, it don't mean anything to me anymore. I'm covetous. I've never come close to getting a hole-in-one. And here she says, it don't mean anything to me anymore. I could be covetous of somebody, the Swings have a new house. I could be covetous of that. Somebody could have a car that I like. I might like Danny's golf clubs. And you'd be covetous of any number of things. This is a problem that we have in every church. Every congregation has this problem. And it has to be eliminated in the work of the church in order for a church to grow. We can't have it. And if you think about it, God has been concerned about it for a long time. It's one of the Ten Commandments that he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. In the New Testament, Christ condemned it in the strongest language when he was talking to the Pharisees about covetousness. Paul wrote in several of his letters and condemned it multiple times. Now, how could we expect a man that's going to serve as an elder to be a covetous person and be successful in the eldership? When he wants something that somebody else has got. Like I say, it could be a set of golf clubs. It could be a car. It could be someone else's wife. And you cannot covet those things and be the elder that God wants you to. You can't have this idea of covetousness in your mindset and be the elder that God would have you to be. Especially when it's clearly condemned in all Christians. Y'all know who that man is, don't you? You'll get to watch him on TV here a lot this month. I like this particular version, but this man was one of the most covetous men in storybook history. Wouldn't give Bob Cratchit enough coal to keep warm in the wintertime, remember? Why? Because he coveted the almighty dollar. And not willing to share. And not willing to bend over to help people. Covetousness is a problem in the Lord's church. It could be that you covet the dollar so much that you fail to put in the collection plate how much God expects you to put in it. Let's notice a third qualification of an elder. He must not be a novice. You know, even if this was not listed, when you think about the oversight and leadership, why would you want a beginner as a Christian to serve in that capacity? I mean, this suggests that an elder must be an experienced man. Now, you could be a beginner as a Christian and be an experienced man. You could already be well up in years and be a businessman, know how to lead people. But you can't be a novice as a Christian and try to lead people. It doesn't work because you have the job of an elder is to spiritually feed the flock, to oversee and to guide. And there's no place for a beginner in the eldership. For a man to be a beginner, that means he's beginning as a Christian. And this qualification, like I said, even if it was not listed, it should be understood. He cannot be a novice or a beginner. But I want to suggest to you, the development of Christianity, it has to begin somewhere in our lives. And it's not obtained, this lack of being a novice, this growth is not obtained overnight. It doesn't come in a day or even a year. And we all have to add, as Peter alluded to in 2 Peter 1, the Christian virtues or graces to our lives. And we've got to grow out of the class of those who would be beginners, those who desire the milk of the word. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. There is a problem in every church of people that will not grow. And I believe that's what the Hebrew writer, we assume is Paul, is referring to. If you've been a Christian for X number of years, God expects you to grow. He says by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need to be growing to the point that you can lead other people to Christ. Notice he says this time. It takes time to accomplish what an elder, a man going to serve as an elder, is supposed to do. Supposed to be able to do. And it doesn't happen. You can't baptize someone today and tomorrow make him an elder. It doesn't work that way. He's got to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving Christ, giving God the glory. All of us have got to grow. All of us will be a beginner at one point or another. It takes time to accomplish growth from being a baby to being full grown. I mean, we've got some new babies in this congregation. Got some little ones here today. And if they stop growing, you would have some concern, would you not? As I said a moment ago, we had 5 of our grandbabies there yesterday. 7 down to about 11 months. Marilyn says, I'm kind of worried about this one because it ain't fattening up the way I think it ought to. Now he's fattened up. His belly is about as tight as that board right there. I said, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But you think about it. When a child does not grow, when it doesn't fill out, you get worried, right? Well, something's wrong. We need to go to the doctor. Well, what happens when we don't fill out, as it were, spiritually? We get baptized at the age of 12, 13 years old, and by the time we're 50, we're still at that same age level, spiritually speaking. Should there not be some concern? I say yes. Because by this time, you ought to be teachers. But like I say, it doesn't happen overnight. When we talk about this qualification of not being a novice, an elder must possess what other Christians don't. And I'm not saying all Christians can't possess this, but he's got to not be a beginner. He's got to have spiritual knowledge. He's got to have a working knowledge of God's Word. I mean, you look at this. Paul says he cannot be a novice. In other qualifications, we've noticed he's got to be apt to teach. For though by this time, the Hebrew writer would say, you ought to be teachers. Do you not see what the Hebrew writer is saying and what Paul is saying here? The Word of God, you've got to grow. You can't just come in here every Sunday and plop down on that pew and expect that you're going to go to heaven because, well, I'm here. What are you doing? Well, nothing, but I'm here. Are you growing? No, but I'm here. So what? You've got to be using the Word of God in your life. You have to put it to use in order to grow. When the elders hired me, what would you do if I come in here and I said, well, I didn't prepare nothing today. I'll just sit down and we'll end the services. What would you think? What would you think if I don't make any progress in growing as a minister? Well, the elders made a bad choice, didn't they? You expect it of everybody else. Why not ourselves? We expect this of elders. It is required by God for him to not be a beginner. But all of us have to have a starting point. We've all got to begin somewhere. Every Christian must grow out of being a novice. If a man grows out of being a novice and acquires the other qualifications that go along with this one, then there's no reason he cannot serve as an elder. I want to suggest to you, it is impossible for those who have had very little experience in the way of the Lord to be able to guide others in the way, in the life of being a Christian. It doesn't mean that if you're baptized today, you can't tell somebody tomorrow what you did to become a Christian. That was one thing that was re-emphasized to me over and over again about Brother Frank Butler. About when the doors are open here in a moment, that he could say, there's our next stop, the cemetery across the street. Well, what about between now and then? Are you leading people to Christ? Are you still being a novice? Do you think, I don't have to do it, Jeff will do it. I don't have to do it, the elders will do it. I don't have to do it, the Bible class teachers will do it. When are you going to grow is the question. When will you grow? I got a call on my way home yesterday. I'd taken some food over to Frank's house, and I got a call from Tom Clifford. He'd been talking to Danny, and he says, Jeff, I think you need to know this about Frank. And it was the closing statement that I made yesterday, that Frank's mantra or attitude or whatever you want to call it, his motive, was I want to go to heaven and take as many people with me as possible. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't know the Word of God? How are you going to take people to heaven with you if you don't know how to get there yourself? You see, the responsibility of the elders is to continually, from day to day to day to day, in the congregation over which they rule, is to guide people, to spiritually feed people. You ever seen people that put a garden out for the first time? Or try to raise cows or sheep or horses for the first time? You ever seen them make a mess out of it? Christianity is really no different. If you want to be the Christian that God would have you to be, then you've got to work at it. You've got to learn how to grow. You've got to learn how to be better so that you can lead other people to Christ. These men have not been appointed to let someone else do the work of overseeing and serving and tending and feeding and protecting the flock. But what about you? Do you have patience? Are you still at the beginning stages of being a Christian? Do you covet? You see, these qualifications apply to us as well. And I think sometimes, maybe to our own fault, we forget that God's talking to us as well. It may be that you're here this morning. You're not a child of God. This is your opportunity to become a beginner, to have that starting point, to begin that life of becoming a Christian. You know, I told you the story about reading a book by T.B. Larimore. And he did a sermon in Nashville in around 1800, late 1800s, 1890 to 1900. And he preached on Ecclesiastes, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. And he pointed out in there that when we begin to live, when our life is conceived and we begin to live, that our heart starts beating. And he said it's a drum beat, slowly marching us to the grave. Now what are you doing with it? But it may be that you're here today and you are a Christian, but you've allowed the cares, the problems of the world to tempt you, to take you away from Christ. Maybe you're not having the patience. Maybe you do have covetousness. Maybe you're not growing as God would have you to grow. The invitation is extended to you. If you are here and need to respond, I encourage you to make your way to the front.